Make the image full screen. I don't know. Let's see if I can.
I can't. Right. I don't know. The lettering looks
Is
more. Ah, that's better.
that, I mean, is that better here? That isn't,
Here,
no.
this is better. I don't know. It's not bigger, but it's better.
Let's make it bigger. Is that better?
Ah, that's bigger. Yeah.
I can make it bigger.
Yes.
Okay. So, Vayechi, obviously, is Yaakov's deathbed scene in source one. It says, Vayechal Yaakov tzavot banav. Yaakov finished commanding his children all the brachot. Vayesof raglav el mita, gathers his, pulls his feet up into the bed. Vayikva, takes his last breath. Vayesef amav, and is gathered unto his people. He dies. Next pasuk is Vayipol Yosef al pnei aviv. Yosef falls on his father's face, Vayivka love, and cries over him. Vayishak lo, and kisses him.
That's the next pasuk.
That's the next pasuk, right? This is the, I
Wait,
mean, the
Yichal Yaakov. What does Yichal mean? He
to
finished?
complete from kol to finish, yeah.
Okay. How do you say he began?
Chil with a
Oh.
chet. Yeah, it
Oh,
makes
yeah.
for good puns in Parshat Miketz. It's
Oh.
bat tchilena shnei hasava bat tchilena shnei hasava bat tchilena shnei haraav. Right,
Oh.
the years of plenty ended and the years of famine
Oh.
began. So he finished commanding his sons. Okay, then at the next pasuk, you know, this is a different parak. Because the Prakim were not designed by Jews, but same paragraph, right? Yaakov commands his sons, Yaakov dies, Yosef cries. And this is basically from Aaron Lichtenstein's essay, from his lecture from the 2016 Me'ibum Tanakh. And he notes that the only one who cries here is Yosef. Got all the other sons, not saying about them crying. It says the brothers in general do not weep. A group of practical men, men of action who plan, execute, improvise, yet devoid of romantic visions, stormy emotions. And then Binyamin, the son of his father's old age, all the other brothers occupied as shepherds with settling the world, building as Chazal emphasize the infrastructure for the future nature of Israel. Brothers devote themselves conscientiously and consistently to their tasks, big or small, with no tendency toward drama or sentimentality.
Even Benjamin didn't cry,
But
but
Binyamin does cry. We'll see Binyamin cry.
oh,
Okay? But Yosef cries. Yosef cries a lot. Okay, throughout Parashat Miketz, right, when Yosef first sees his brothers after the 22 years, and Yosef accuses them of being spies by Imru Ish L'Achiv, and one said to the brother said to each other, Aval Ashemim Anachnu, but the truth is that we are guilty. Alachinu, because of our brother, Sher Ra'inu Tzarat Nafsho. Because we saw that his pain, Elena, when he pled for mercy, we didn't listen. Elena, that's why this trouble is coming to us. Why this Egyptian viceroy, Tzafnapaneach, is accusing us of these terrible things. It's our fault because we didn't listen. We didn't listen to our brother's pleas for mercy.
did he plead for
Hanley,
mercy? Does the Torah tell us he
no.
pleaded?
This is the
No.
only hint that he did that then, is
Is
them
that?
talking about it later.
Yeah.
Okay? The Hebrew Yosef, and they had no idea that Yosef could understand them, Kiam Otam, because there had been an interpreter between them. Vayesev Me'alhem, and he turns away from them, Vayev, and he cries. Yosef now cries, hearing his brothers. Vayeshev
Himlitz is
Elohim.
an interpreter.
Me'alhem is an interpreter, right? Is it still not true in modern Hebrew?
Hamlitz means to recommend.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but in this case, clearly it's an interpreter. And he turns away from them and he cries. Then he returns to them. And he talks to them. And he takes Shimon as the hostage. And he imprisons him in front of them and then sends him back. That's Yosef crying. Next, they come back down. They've got Binyamin with them. And he lifts his eyes and he sees Binyamin, his brother, the other son of his mother, And he says, is this your little brother that you told me about? And he says, God should have grace on you, my son. And Yosef rushed, because his mercy was kindled, because his brother, and he wants to cry. Second time he cries. And he goes to his inner chamber, he cries there. He washes his face, goes out, and he restrains himself,
Corrupted himself.
collected himself. Yeah, right. That's what it is. Little bit to struggle. He struggled with himself, but that's not what it
Oh.
means. But fake is to struggle, and a pig is to struggle with himself, right? But he collected himself. But Yom HaSimcha, and he said, "Okay, put out the food." He's cried, but he's done crying. And then when Yehuda comes to him and says, "Look, you can't imprison Binyamin. His father loves him." And Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and he says, "You brothers now go back to Canaan. Tell my father about all my glory here in Egypt, the kolos and everything you've seen. And go quickly and bring Abba back here." And he falls on Binyamin's neck and cries. Yosef cries again. Ubinyamin Bachal Tzavarav, that's example, the other example of a brother crying. And Binyamin cries on his neck as they're hugging each other. And then he kisses all of his brothers and he cries over them. And what's missing here is
Them.
them, they're not crying here. And then his brothers talk to him. That's the wording there. He cries over each of them and they talk to him. Okay. And then when Yaakov comes down, Yosef harnesses his chariot. He goes to Goshen to see his father, Yisrael. And he appears to him. And he falls on his neck. And he cries on his neck a lot. Now, the subject of that last half of the pasuk is ambiguous. It's he cries over him.
Right.
Rashi explains it's Yosef, and it's only Yosef who's doing the crying. Okay? Vayera is Yosef and Yireh. The subject of Vayar, Vayipol, Vayef is Yosef. Vayef got Sabra Od, and he cries on his neck a lot. Lashon Harbe, Bechiot, Bechia. My Od means even more. Harbe Vosif, Bechi Yoter Haragil. It's Yoter Midai. Is what Ode means here. He kept crying. Well, Yaakov lo nafal tzvara Yosef lo nashako, and Yaakov, he says, didn't fall on Yosef, didn't kiss him, wasn't crying. But Rabbeinu, but and the Midrash says he had koreat Shema. He was saying Shema.
Oh.
Okay, without going into Yaakov here, the main emphasis is Yosef is crying. Let me the our pasuk. When Yaakov dies, they pull all aviv vayefk, and then the last time, which Rabbi Sacks calls the last tears, the very end of the parsha, after they bury Yaakov, and they come back to Egypt. Vayruach Yosef ki mit avihem. And Yosef's brothers realized that their father had died. We have maru lo yistamen Yosef, and they said, "Lest Yosef hate us."
Yes to yes yes to
Yes,
me
the menu. He
yes
will
to
hate us.
me
Translate that here. And here, the way JPS is, what if Joseph still bears a grudge against us?
This is like the Godfather. After he died, Michael kills Freddy.
Is that he? Does he do it before? Is that after he dies?
No, yeah, he waits
I don't
him to
remember the
die.
time. I remember. I can visualize the scene. He's on the lake.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is he's waits him to die,
Okay.
and then he kills his brother.
He has his category. Yes. So that they were afraid of. That's exactly what they're afraid of. Like, when he's going to pay back all the evil we did to him. Afterwards, and they commanded to Yosef. They're not going. They're sending messengers here. to Yosef, and they said, "Avicha tziva lefnei mot leimar, your father commanded before he died, and he said, Potemul Yosef, say this to Yosef, Anna sana pesha checha pekatatam. Bear their sin, bear their iniquity, forgive them. Kira agmula, because they did bad to you. Vata sana lepesha avdei el ki avicha, and now bear the sin of the servants of the God of your father." Okay, so that's the message they sent to Yosef. Question whether they were lying on it. Rashi says explicitly they lied. Right? Yaakov had no idea what was going to do. Well, didn't tell them anything. But they sent such a message. Vayef Yosef v'davar me'lav. And Yosef cries.
Oh boy, he does cry a lot.
That's it, right. So this is Rav Lichtenstein's point. He's, you know, he constantly keeps crying, right? Okay. So much has been said whether Yosef actually forgives his brothers or not. It's not clear. There's no question he cries. Cries a lot. But Rav Lichtenstein in this talk points out that Yosef does not cry out of self-pity. Okay, there's no mention of him crying when they try to sell him, when they try to kill him. There's no mention when he's framed for adultery under Potiphar, when he's thrown into the prison. There's no bechia there. It's all in these points where he's in conflict or dealing with his brothers. And this is Rav Lichtenstein's. The period during which Yosef is completely cut off from his brothers lasts longer than 2 decades. During this time, he emerges as a firm, determined, energetic leader, the embodiment of pragmatism achievement. No sense of nostalgia managed to topple the wall of equanimity and the screen of distraction. The sense of distance, the sense of physical and existential severance he feels, is expressed in the names that Yosef gives his sons. I don't think I did this with you, but his son, first son is named Menashe, which is Kinishani Elokim Akol Amali Vakol Beit Avi. God called me forget my toil and my father's house. He named his son because I forgot my family, right? I'm starting a new life here. I talked about that in the concept of him taking the name of Tzapnat Paneach, right? He's renamed by Paro, but he takes that name and he's now Egyptian. And the next son is Ephraim, Ki Ephrani Elokim, because I am now fruitful, bears on you in the land of my affliction. Expresses conspicuous contentment alongside genuine feeling. He's happy. He's had a new life. It's only when he comes face to face with his brothers that he wants and needs to weep. His crying comes when they come back. In these encounters, all the feelings that have been suppressed and submerged rise up again. All that has been forgotten floods back to his consciousness. In place of the comforting thought that God has caused me to forget, he sits with the impact of memory. Right? But his core, Yosef at Kalamotav. Yosef remembered the dreams that he dreamed. As soon as he sees him. Now he's remembering everything that happened. Yosef remembers not only the dreams, but also everything that came with them, the atmosphere within they had appeared, the chain of events that brought their wake. And so he summarizes. Yosef is waging a battle not only with his brothers, but also with himself, with his past, present, and future. That the crying represents, Richardson says, that this unsolvable conflict between Safna Paneach and Yosef HaTzadik. Who is he? And that's the point he cries, when he has to face that. Indeed, enormous chasm separates these two identities. It's precisely the intensity of the contract that reflects Yosef's feelings and the reality of his life. Here, of course, his restraint, the yitapak, is that point of content and equilibrium between his Jewish aspirations, inner spiritual and existential purpose, and the external appearance with which he plays out his role in the outer chamber. Which also seeps inward and smolders within him. Okay, is he the Egyptian Tzatzah Paneach or is he Yosef? The passion, the weeping that accompanies it are essentially connected to his inner Hebrew identity. This part of his being desires to be merciful and needs to weep. That's his Bechia constantly. Once his brother sees Binyamin, can he go back? And so we have our deathbed scene. Right?
Well, do we know what Zafnat Panea means? Anybody tell us?
That was my fear 2 weeks ago that you didn't hear.
Oh.
I can send you the link or we can go through it all right now.
No, but what does it mean, just bottom line?
Probably something related to the one who sees the future, sees hidden secrets.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
Maybe not. because he didn't see his brothers coming back.
Ah, that's kind of the point of the iron. That's what I said about the irony of the name. Yeah, that's kind of where I ended up with it. And the irony of Tzafanech was the fact that he was now Tzafanech and not Yosef was what led to the fact that nobody could see what was coming. But anyway, that was the Shir two weeks ago.
Okay. I
Sorry.
just thought of the Shayur.
There you go. Good. I'm glad you thought of that. Okay, that's it. So the deathbed scene, right? Yaakov has died. Yosef is crying. After Yaakov's death, again, this is relevant. I'm just reading it straight. Yosef cries once more, and Yosef fell upon his father's face and wept and kissed him. Understandably, he is filled with sorrow of the death of his father. But why is he the only one weeping? Where are all of his brothers? It seems that what separates Yosef at this point is not the grief over Yaakov's passing, but the guilt of his separation. Not only 2 decades of silence, even the 17 years in which Yaakov lives in Goshen, by these past 17 years, he's come down, he knows his father, but he's not living with his father. He has to be some to say your father's sick. Yes. The years when Yosef is preoccupied with matters of state. Apparently, his weeping with Binyamin did not put an end to his restraint. Immediately, the center of gravity has shifted. The man who now cries no longer Tzafnath-Paneah, viceroy of Egypt, the tenuous tie to Jewish culture. Rather, it's Yosef who stands firmly and squarely within Jewish culture. Still, the connection with Egypt prevails in his home. He's a master of Pharaoh's house. Yosef is still involved in Egyptian life and culture. He's still there. He's crying over the fact that he didn't have this connection to his father, that the rest of the family has been living there. As someone I know, my mother's in Florida right now. I don't see her enough. I know what that, that separation there. I mean, the fact that none of my kids are here. I'm just very jealous of those who have their grandkids in St. Louis. I don't know. Right? So he still has that separation. And then the last years, when the brothers begged, they not take revenge
You're
after.
not the you're the older generation. He's the child who wasn't
Right.
attentive enough to his father.
Right. So hopefully
He feels
my
guilt. You feel you miss them, but you
right.
don't feel
Yes. Yeah.
guilt.
So hopefully my kids will cry over me, but I do not intend to be dead for a very long time. But still, yes. There's that crying there. And the Yosef, when his brothers come to him afterwards, where he puts it is that at this moment, Yosef discovers the limits of raw power, discovers the extent to which the human connection, the personal connection, the family connection hold far more value and importance than does power. As he did, the person himself and those around him. Is this that causes Yosef to weep in the beginning, and for the same reason he cries at the end? He weeps over the weakness inherent in power, the terrible price that he has paid for it. His dreams have indeed been realized, but on some level, but the tragedy remains just as real. The torn shreds of the family have not been made completely whole. Right? The brothers still don't trust him. From their point of view, he is still Tzafnath-Paneah.
But he's the one who didn't stay, be with Yaakov in those
I
17 years.
agree. And that's the trap. I mean, he's weeping, and I think that he's saying that he's crying because this separation is real.
Yeah.
Yes, it reflects a conflict within himself. It's the story of Cat's Cradle. The song. Who is saying that?
Oh,
Cat's Cradle, Silver Spoon, right? We'll be together
We'll
soon,
find
son.
time then, son. Yeah.
Right. I mean that's what he's saying he's crying over that he should have
Yeah.
been spending time, but he's not because he's got to work, right? Somebody's got to run the make the Egyptian trains run on time.
Yeah.
Now he's here, he's crying because he's lost all that, right? And he doesn't have that. So part of Vayechi ends on a tragic note. And that's where Rav Lichtenstein ends. That it ends with the tragedy that the Bechiah represents Yosef's feeling of this conflict, both within himself and within his family, never gets resolved. And each time it's all about that
Yeah.
crime. Aviva Zornberg, and this is someone I want to add, adds a slightly different note. Okay, in the beginnings of desire, have you ever seen that? You know who she is, right?
I have it, but it's too hard for me to read.
Okay. Yeah, but my problem with Thornburg is that she doesn't actually end. She says a lot of things and she meanders on a long path and doesn't pull everything together there. But it's always fascinating.
I
Okay,
mean,
but
I would
she's
like to listen to her a lot, but To read her is hard for me.
So her essay on Vayechi adds a note about these tears and these irreconcilable differences there. And part of the idea is that the brothers, Sefer Binyamin, again, sure, from Rachel's side, his full brother, they don't cry because they don't feel the conflict. They don't feel the dialectic. And part of what happens in the end of Reshit is that they don't have problems with being Jewish Egyptians. They don't see any conflict there. They're perfectly happy being who they are. And that's the last pasuk of last week's parsha. Yeshiv Yisrael Beretz Goshen. Israel, people of Israel lived in Egypt, in Goshen, Vayechazuva. And always translated as, now I want to translate here, and they acquired holdings in it. Okay?
And they
But
acquired
holdings,
holdings.
they
Achuzot,
acquired Nachuzah.
please.
Vayechazuva, they came very fruitful. But Vayechazu is actually passive, and they were acquired.
Oh.
Okay? And that's the idea is that this is. That they were acquired by Egypt. They settled there. They had no problems, and that's Kliyakar says it. By Yeshiv Yisrael, this kol pasuk zeh, this pasuk b'ashmat bnei Yisrael, blames bnei Yisrael. It's talking about the blame. Kol kach nishtaku shama. They were so absorbed by it. Ad shelo ratzu letzeit Mitzrayim. They wouldn't want to leave. They were fine. They don't cry because they don't see any conflict at all.
Like American Jews.
Yes, I was thinking about quoting the famous Mesha Chachma, who talks about those who call Berlin Jerusalem,
Those
who
who,
call Berlin the New Jerusalem.
oh yeah.
It's running in the 1880s. I didn't include that there, but that idea. But yeah,
No,
American Jews.
because it's insinuating that America's gonna not be good, but America is good.
It is. I have no complaints about America, but. The fact that we're very comfortable means I have no desire to leave. If I have no desire to leave, then I'm not going to leave. There's no redemption. There's no return in Canaan if perfectly happy people. Right? And there's
Yeah.
nothing bad happening here, but there is, since I don't see any conflict. Okay?
Yeah.
There's no, then there's
You're
no
not
reason.
crying.
They're not crying.
You're
There,
not crying.
they see no reason to cry, which means they'll
Right.
never go back. So when
Oh.
Yaakov blesses Yosef specifically, and he tells Yosef, bring me back to Canaan, bring me there. He mentions the death of Rachel, Yosef's mother.
Oh.
The question is why? Why mention there? Here's,
She cries, right? There's more tears coming.
that's where we're going. Right, because
That's where we're
Rachel
going.
cries as well. Exactly. Yaakov says, Yosef, God, Nirelai Beluz, Beretz Canaan, appeared to me in the city of Luz, Bethel. Bless me, I'll make you fruitful and multiply. Right, that's the same here, right? The Israel are by a fruit, by your boo, right? They're fruitful and multiply because that's in Egypt, right? God promises, no, you're going to be here. You'll be a nation, a community of nations. I will give this land to your children, an eternal
Welcome.
inheritance. Okay, not Egypt. Okay, that's not the bracha. That's why he's not telling the brothers this. He's telling Yosef. Yosef feels it. Mitzrayim. So now that these two children who were born in Egypt before I came to you, they are mine. Ephraim and Asher, Reuven, Shimon, Yuli. Ephraim and Asher are like Reuven and Shimon. You get the
Oh.
portion. They are both considered as tribes. Bani bavoyim padan. And I, when I came back from the fields of Aram, Meta alei Rachel, Be'eretz Canaan, Baderach, Rachel died in Canaan along the way. Ba'od kivrat eretz levo Ephrata, only a distance away from Ephrat. Mekbre Hashem Baderach Ephrata, so Ephrat, so I buried her on the way to Ephrat. He Beit Lechem, Ephrat is Beit Lechem. Hence the modern city of Ephrat, named that, and that's. Rachel, presumably, I buried her there. The Rashi says, you know, why is he mentioning here? And he says, well, because I'm asking you to bury me, but I didn't bury your mother in Maratha Machpelah. And he says, Dalacha, Yaakov tells Yosef, you should know, Shalpia Dibur, Kibartia Sham, that I buried her there because God told me to. That was my nevuah. Tetia le'ezra le'banah, that she'll be able to help her children when they are sent into exile by the Babylonians. They'll pass by there. Yotzet Rachel will go out on her burial place, Ubocha, and she will cry. And she will ask mercy on them, as she had said, in Yirmiyahu, Kol Barama Nishma. Right, that's where we see Rachel crying. Those are the tears. All right, let's look at the pasuk inside. Omar Hashem, Kol Barama Nishma. Blessed the Lord, describing the exile, that a voice is heard in Ramah. Nihi, a moaning, Bechi, Tamrim, bitter crying, Rachel, Mavakal Banaha. Rachel's crying.
Oh God, yeah, that's so.
I'm not Lena.
I'm gonna cry.
Okay. That's all right. That's where we're going. The crying is, you can't go without the crying. I should have included the Shir HaMaala. You start with a bachan, you end up with a rina.
Al Naharod Bavil.
I'm thinking more of Shir
Shem Bachinu.
HaMaalot. Yes. Manalina and Ninachem, she refused to be comforted by Albaneha for her children, Kianana, because they are no longer. Komar Hashem, so God says to her, Mani kolech mi bechi, stop crying. Veinech mi dima, and your eyes from tearing. Because there is a reward for your actions, says God.
Oh, yes,
Right? There
Rabbi
will be a reward.
Forman has a whole thing, a big thing on this, and he puts Yisachar there.
Yes,
You
we
see?
did that this year. Right?
Oh, we did it?
We did it too. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. Yeah.
But I'm not focusing on that side of it. Right?
No.
That's the Sakhar of allowing so Yisachar to be born.
On Shabbos morning, no one's going to notice that Yisachar.
I hope somebody notices because I did this year with them 3 weeks
No,
ago.
but I bet you they won't. You want to bet?
Okay. No.
Or else they won't say it. Maybe they'll
Oh,
keep it.
anyone who notices will say. Okay, but we're looking at the Bechia here. They will return from the land of the enemy. Yesh tikvar al ritech. There is hope for your future, Nu Hashem, so saith the Lord. The Shavu Banim Gvulam, the children will return to their boundaries. That's the Psukim. So the Maharal, looking at Rashi, trying to understand what is going on here, that Yaakov's saying here, and why is Rachel Mavakan? What does that have to do with Yaakov going back?
Yeah.
So the Maharal's Guri Ayyadi gets pretty philosophical here. Vim Tomar, you're just going to ask, Lama Rachel Bochei Yoter Mishar Imahot? Why is she crying more than the other Imahot? And the Avot too, in the context of the Medrash, Hashem goes to the Yaakov, Abraham, and they say, oh, they deserve it. Right? Nobody cries except for Rachel. Midrash Rabbati, so the Midrash that we all know about this, Rachel Mavaka, Amar Sham, Lefisha Rachel, Imena Omer Lakash Baruch. Rachel is one who tells God, Ma'asu ben ai, Shekache beit alehem paranut. What did my children do that was so terrible? That you're saying into exile, you're bringing these terrible troubles on them. In Mishvila Avodah Zarah, because they weren't faithful to you, right? They worked to Avodah Zarah, Shenikret Zarah, right? It's like having another wife, right? You should be faithful to God, but they're going with someone else.
What is
Allah,
Sarah here? Why is Sarah in
everybody
quotes?
a co-wife.
Really?
You asked me the same question the last time we quoted that idea. A tara is the Hebrew word for a co-wife. Because it's nothing but trouble. Yes, if you have two wives, they're called tzarot to one another
Okay.
for obvious reasons.
But where is it? Where is that word used?
I gotta go. We gotta
Like,
get let's go back to the
no, I
Yikra.
don't mean where is it used. I mean, how does it refer to Avodah Zarah, and that's why they're kicked out?
Oh, I mean, he's just saying it's the whole model of Avodah Zarah is like being an unfaithful wife to God,
Oh, that's all. Okay.
right? So that you're unfaithful, right? I'm taking God plus another spouse.
Okay. Yeah.
Alohabti. Okay, so yeah, that's you, but me, look at my life. Alohabti ishi Yaakov, avad bi shevet shanim, right? Yaakov, my husband, loved me, worked for me for 7 years, vasof netanavi lo et achoti lisha, and then my father, Lavan, gave Leah, my sister, to marry him. Gibalti of avti lebaali, umasarti asam, gibalti avti lebaali, translate, umasarti asmi achoti.
The kibalti
I accepted my love as my I mean,
my
wait, wait, talk,
love for my husband,
I guess so.
you know.
Little ba'alif, right? I but in the sense of I kept it inside. I let my
Oh
sister
yeah, and
pass
I
in.
gave
Yes,
her, yeah.
that I like that. I kept it to myself, and I gave it to her. Right? I was willing to give that up. Okay, ani basar v'dam, and I'm a human being, and I was able to allow a tzara into my home. Ata melech rachaman, you're the merciful king. Alka kama kama chedrachem alem, you should have pity on them and forgive them for bringing literally another spouse in there. Hash Baruch Hu
Oh,
mehiv.
and God says, okay, I agree.
Yesh zachar lefolatech, that your efforts will bear fruit. Shavu benim lebulam, they will return. Okay, I will forgive you for that. That's her argument. She's looking at the court of a philosophical way. She feels she had that Rachel. She Yaakov ro'oy she yisa shtei nashim. That Rachel felt that Yaakov was going to marry two women because he's going to be the ancestor of this people, and Bnei Israel were not going to be unified. That was just not going to happen. Because in this world, the world of separation, it's not the perfect world. It's what he's saying. This world does not warrant have everything.
Oh.
Right? This it wasn't going to be perfect. If he had just married me and there have been 12 tribes, we would have been unified, we would have been perfect. And just like in the future, we'll be finally reunited. That I was willing to acknowledge that, yes, there was going to be a difference between these two nations, and they would split in the future, symbolically. And I was still allowing that to happen. Rachel saw this. Kibla ba'ava. She accepted this with love. And allowed this split. She knew that the world was not going to be perfect. There was going to be this split, and I'm going to have to deal with that
So God
myself.
has to deal, God should deal with it
Right.
too.
Because there's nothing in this world is perfectly unified. Avodah Zarah exists because no one's perfect, and we're splitting up this idea that into multiple powers. Yeah, that's the nature of this world. We know that. That's why Bnei Israel sinned. That's a lack in the world that we live in and the way it works. That's where Rachel is the one who can say
What is mechasron?
that. The
Oh,
lack.
chisaron.
There's something lacking in this world. The world isn't perfect. And Rachel, in this reading, knows this, accepts this, and realizes that okay, my marriage to Yaakov will not be perfect. My family will not be perfect, and they will split, and that's going to happen. And I will cry over it. So that the Inyan Yod Lahem Tzara, that Bnei Israel will take a Tzara, like another spouse, will work with Avodah Zarah, just like what happened to Rachel. Inyan Zeh Ro'eh Lo Olam HaZeh, that's what happens in this world. Bichach Rachel Mevakesha Rachamim Bilvad, that's why Rachel is the one who symbolizes that ability to, not too much to accept, but to acknowledge the reality.
Milvad means not Leah and
Right.
Rivka and
She's
all
the
those.
one who has to acknowledge that reality of this split, that she is not pushing, okay, this is mine, that everything's perfect, you're mine. and he has like, you need to understand this well. So the way
Well,
that,
another way to think about this is Yosef is, he inherited this from her, the crying.
yes, he is her daughter, and he is her son, and Binyamin too. Binyamin also cries. Of all the
Yeah,
sons,
they
it's only
cry.
Yosef and Binyamin who cry.
They cry. Although, well, how many years did Yosef have her before Benjamin comes kills her?
That's pretty negative. Probably six.
Okay. Yeah.
Look at the chronology.
So this is his, he had a mother who cried and he cries.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's the point I'm making with that these tears
I
are.
know. I know.
So this
Okay.
way Zornberg puts it, the moral assumption is that the personal dramas of the patriarchs and matriarchs are always indicative of metaphysical reality. Right? We're going to get very big here that right, it's not just Rachel and her family, this is the whole nature of the universe. Here he proposes a tragic acceptance of this world as one of multiple conflicting versions of truth. This, Rachel argues, is the very nature of this world as God has made it, as she experienced it in her most intimate knowledge of otherness. She's willing to accept it. Is she, therefore, who suffers the diffusion and exile of her children, accepting the tragic rightness of such displacement, yet expressing in this very acquiescence the most poignant appeal to the creator of the world.
What's this otherness?
Of
That's
that, the idea of that they're, what she puts it, conflicting versions of truth.
oh.
That there are others out there who I have to realize they are different. And that I can't just paper over the differences.
So is this a reflection of Yosef's conflict?
That's my argument as well, is that
Yeah,
Yosef realizing
inner
that
conflict, his inner conflict.
both inner conflict with himself, which the brothers don't have any inner conflict, and also with his brothers, which they also don't really have that. They're not crying over it.
Yeah.
So that both Rachel and Yosef, their tears reflect the futility of ignoring real differences. They acknowledge the differences are there. That's tragic, but it's real. But that's from that starting point, you can realize a better future, as Hashem says about Rachel. If you don't cry over the situation, you're never gonna, it's never gonna, it's not going to change. But Yosef has potential, Rachel's potential to bring the to end the geula, to end the go the go galut and
This
bring the
you
geula.
know you could apply this to today here
I
very
am all I will never
easily.
have an application to contemporary politics, okay? That's
Yeah.
entirely on you.
Yeah.
Yes, the acceptance of the that you have to we cannot ignore real differences, and they cannot be papered over, and they are real, and that's the whole idea of a dialectic. We are not going to resolve them, but we have to live with them, and that's what Yosef's tears and what Rachel's tears represent. We will get to that point. We'll learn to live with each other, even though we don't agree.
But
We will
achdut
bear
doesn't
everything.
mean achdut is still a good thing.
But it doesn't mean that we are all are
Agreed.
the same.
Yeah. Very nice.
I
Very,
probably
very
should.
nice. Can you tie it up?
Well, that's my goal, okay? I
I
really
know.
want to start at the beginning and end up where I started, having gone on a fascinating journey and end up putting it together. That's really what I want, which is what frustrates me about Zornberg's essays.
Very nice.
You don't seem to tell.
Okay.
I think I'm actually going to add, I think I'm going to add that last of the Shirma.
How does it go?
So now let's go pull it.
It's a Tehillim, right?
Yeah, 31, 130. Loading, loading. Come on, go back. There we go. The one who goes crying, carrying in the grain,
Oh.
will eventually come back in joy, bearing the sheaves. Right?
Oh, I always thought
Zorim
it meant.
bedima berina yiksaro. Those
Oh, that's
who
it. Yeah, Hazarim Bedima. I mean,
they
it's
clamped
it
with
took them
tears.
so. literally, like you work hard, you'll reap the rewards, but you have to work hard.
Yeah.
But we're talking a little different here.
Well, okay, this is poetry. We'll have to have different
Yeah.
levels of meaning. That's fine.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna stop here.
Okay.
Have
Good
a
evening.
good day. Enjoy your 10, 12 degree weather.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Shabbat shalom. Good
All right, so
Shabbos.
much. Bye.